2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet while we read one verse out of the Bible. I got up this morning. I knew we were just going to be a handful because of all the sickness. And I really wanted to preach something very uplifting that had something. I don't know how I can say this without sounding bad about what I'm about to preach. I just wanted something that would hopefully make us just feel better in the time that we're in. But I'm going to preach on the Word of God today. That's what I'm going to preach on. If there's any hope that me and you have in this life, it's this book that's in front of us today. It's the only hope we got and the only help we got is looking into this book. That's kind of what the Lord shared with me and showed me this morning is on the Word of God. Now notice in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, he said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." You can be seated this morning. We're all going to ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you for the wonderful mercy and grace that you've given us. And Lord, we do thank you for the love that you've showed us and the song that was sung about how that you love us anyway, boy, in spite of our sin. And Lord, even after we get saved, you love us anyway, in spite of our sin. And we're so thankful for that. Lord, we do thankful for the day that you've given us and for these dear folk that have come. Pray they might receive a blessing from the service, but it's preaching time. And Lord, I pray that you'll just touch us and help us today while we might preach, and give us an unction from the Holy One, and let our mind be guarded today, and Lord, in that, from all hindrances of Satan. And Lord, I just pray that you meet with us in the Word of God, stir folks' hearts today. If there's one lost, God, I pray that you might save them, but we certainly stand in need of you. And Lord, I pray you'd help those that are sick, just so many sick today. I pray you might touch them and help them. We'll tell you again that we love you. Help us now while we might preach. Save that sinner's nearest hell for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to continue on the series of getting back to the basics. And we've looked at salvation. We've looked at supplication and separation. But today we're going to start on the Scripture. And getting back to the basic, the very fundamental of our Christian life must be out of this book right here. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, when you get saved, he said, "As newborn babes, I desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." You and I need the Word of God in our life. It needs to be ever present. I mean, that's why we have Sunday school. That's why Brother Jeff, he's been teaching out of the book of Proverbs and that on dealing with wisdom and how to live in this life here. You know how you're going to get wisdom to live in this life here is out of and through the Word of God. It gives us direction. You know, the psalmist David said in Psalms chapter 27, he said, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of thine enemies." How are we taught the Lord's way? Well, the Lord's way is in this book right here. You want to know how to live for God? You find it in this book right here. You say, "Well, that's pretty simple." It is. But I want you to understand something in the text verse that we read. Notice what it says at the very end of it when it talks about rightly dividing the word of truth. He said, "Study to show thyself approved." What are we studying? We're not studying nature, and I'm glad that there's folk that study science and nature, and I'll be honest with you, one of the greatest classes that I loved in high school was my physical science class and my chemistry class. I loved those two classes right there. I love that. Probably had to do with the two separate teachers that I had. They were great teachers, but I just love science. Now, I'm glad there's people that study that. And I'll be honest with you, I'm glad there's people that's studying the sickness that's going on right now, and is trying to figure this thing out, and maybe with God's help, we can get it under control. But you know what we're to do as Christians? We're to study the Word of God. Now, notice what he calls it in verse 15. The Word of truth. In the day and age that me and you live in, truth is hard to find. It's hard to get a hold of. But I can tell you, when we look at it and we read it and we study it, we can find the very epitome and the very truth in this book today. And that is a great thing. Whatever you read in here, you can believe it. You may not be able to believe the news. You may not be able to believe your neighbor. You may not be able to believe folk you work with, what they tell you. And I'll be honest with you, we've all seen that in the past year and a half. Folk have said this, this, and this. And I don't know if I'm believing it or not. But I know when I crack this book open, I know what it says is the very truth. And boy, I'm thankful for that. The Bible said you may know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And boy, thank God for that today. In Psalms 119, you find that is the longest chapter in the Bible. And you know what it deals with? It deals with the Word of God. Word of God is very important today. You cannot live as a Christian, as a saved person, without the Word of God. Listen today, I'm glad that it was this book, as the song was sung, I'm glad it was this book that pointed us to Christ and showed us that we needed to get saved. Well, I'm glad that the Bible tells us over there in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to Timothy, he said that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. He said it is the scripture that points you to Christ Jesus. How do we know that Christ Jesus will save today? How do you know that, church? How do you, well, somebody told me that. Yeah, how did they know that? There's somebody that told you that. How'd they know that? Well, they know by the Word of God. Listen, had God not left us Scripture and left us Bible and that to live by, we would have never known what God was able and capable of to do in our life. 1 Peter chapter 1, he said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So it is by the Word of God, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, in the Word of God, we got saved. And boy, we thank God for that today. You know, as I've told you before, when I went to church that night as a 14-year-old boy, I wasn't expecting to meet God. I'll be honest with you, I didn't go that day to meet God. But you know what? God dealt with my heart that night. And when he began to deal with your heart, listen, and I contribute this. I've told you this before. I don't remember what the preacher preached that night, but I know God dealt with my heart. And I contribute that to all them Sunday school teachers and to all them preachers that I had grew up with and heard all my life. I contributed to sitting there and listening, and God took the Word of God and began to deal in my heart. And let me say this, that I also contributed to my mother, who was standing over there on the other side of the church. And when I got saved that night, she testified and said, I was standing over here praying that I'd know that my children were saved. Well, I tell you, mama's prayers go a long way sometimes. But the Word of God, the Word of God. There are those who will deny the Word of God. We've had that problem since the beginning of time, haven't we? Genesis chapter 3 and 1, Satan steps out on the scene over there and said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, thou shalt not eat, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The very first time that Satan converses in that with a human being upon the face of the earth, it is to put doubt as to what God said. What's been happening ever since? Folk have been doubting what God has had to say. And so it is the Word of God that we need in our life and in our heart. It's all about the Lord Jesus. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation chapter 22, you'll find that it is about the Lord Jesus. You can see him on just about every page of the book. Notice he says for us to study the Word of God. I want you to look here real quick about studying the Word of God. What it makes in our life and does in our life. Do you know that you can only learn something by studying it? But the thing about the Word of God is, a lost person can take this book, and I believe they can glean from it, and they can find history out of it, but they're not going to find the deep things in that out of the Word of God till the Spirit resides in their heart. How do you figure that? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You got to realize today that it is God who takes this book and opens it up so that me and you as Christians, as saved people, by the Holy Spirit residing in our heart, will take it and begin to teach us and know from the Word of God. I believe it was little John over there said that he gives us an unction from the Holy One. And I listen and it comes through this book right here. You say, preacher, we don't have a problem with the Word of God. Yeah, but I want you to understand something today. In our Christian life, we've got to have this book. You cannot live for God outside of this book. It won't happen. You can't find strength and you can't find happiness outside of this. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We need the Word of God. You need the Word of God. But let's look about studying the Word of God. Can I tell you something today? Studying is a hard thing for me to do. I never did like studying in school. And I'll be honest with you, I've told you before that when I was in grammar school, man, I never was so glad when we didn't have to look up and write definitions. We didn't have to learn how to spell anymore. And then God caused me to be a preacher. And man, I'm going to tell you, words mean things. Brother Larry was here last Sunday, and I believe he made that statement. Words mean things. And so I've had to learn how to look up and what all these words mean along the way. And so number one, as we look at studying, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God. Can I say that first of all, there is the act of study. That means the setting of our mind or thought upon a subject or giving attention or meditation to. I think we all know what it means to study. And you know, to study something, especially in the Word of God, first of all, that means you have to read the book. You know, this book is made to read. It's made to read. You know, we get carried away and we want to watch stuff. And I'm not a big reader. I'll be honest with you. A fella called me the other day. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm reading. He said, well, why would you want to do that? I said, I'm reading my Bible. Oh, he thought I was reading a book. I am reading a book. But, you know, the first thing we have to do is read. This book's made to read. It's made for us to either read or to hear one or the other. Let me say today, you may not be able to read, but thank God if you can hear today, then you can comprehend by the help of the Holy Spirit and know what the Word of God means. You know what he said in 1 Timothy chapter 4? Paul said this. He said, till I come, I give attendance to reading. You know, it would be a good thing here at the church, and I've just been putting it off, I'll be honest with you. It would be a good thing if folk just got up, if we let folk just read from the Bible. Wouldn't hurt a thing. You don't have to expound on it. Don't have to say nothing about it. Say pick one of your favorite chapters and just read it for all of us to hear. Now some people couldn't do that because they're shy. And I get that. But some people, that wouldn't bother a bit to let them just come and read. You know why? It'd be good for us to hear it. It would be good to hear the Word of God. Why? It helps us for it to get into our heart and to hide it away. He said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation. That means to lift up, to build up, to exhort. How are you going to do that? By the Word of God. Exhortation is by the Word of God. And then he said, and to doctrine. Doctrine means that which is taught. What are you teaching? The Word of God. Everything that in our Christian life must revolve around this book. He said to study. We're to set our mind, our thoughts upon it, and our attention, and to meditate upon the Word of God. Take your Bible and go to the book of Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. In our time of devotion the other day over here in the fellowship hall, Jacob taught on Psalms chapter 1 on being committed. He dealt with, I believe he was dealing mainly with verse 3 over there, where it talks about the tree being planted by the rivers of water. But in Psalms chapter 1, in verse 1, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He said, look, he said, the righteous man, the godly man, he said, he's going to delight in the law of God. He's going to delight in the Word of God. You know, if you go to the book of Psalms, chapter 119, when the Word of God is laid out through there, it's not only called the Word of God, it's called precepts, it's called truth, it's called law, it's called testimonies. There's a lot of words for the Word of God in Psalms 119. And here, he's talking about the law of the Lord. He said he delights in it. How many of us delight in the Word of God today? How many of us take it like we found treasure, buried treasure, that Proverbs talks about when it talks about finding wisdom? Listen, you find wisdom in the Word of God. And he said, as you look and you dig for it, it's like finding treasure. How many of us find treasure when we read the Word of God? How many times have you ever, let me ask you this, I'm getting ahead of myself, but how many times have we ever needed an answer to something and you read the Bible and God opens the door and enlightens your eyes and there it is and you say, my, there is what I've been looking for. Notice he said that he delights in the law of the Lord. Not only does he delight in the very fact that God can direct his life when there is a need, but in the very fact that God directs our life by the Word of God. In other words, we live by the Word of God. How many of us delight to live by the Word of God? To stay separated out of the world. Don't want to be like the world. Why? The Word of God says not to be like the world. And so to delight myself in God, I must delight myself in the Word of God. And we only do that when we study it. A lot of times if I am very tired at the house and if I've either been lazy or put things off. You ever do that? Do you ever procrastinate? You know, I've got preacher friends that, man, they do not procrastinate at nothing. Bless their heart. I don't know how they do it. I'll be honest with you. I've just been a procrastinator from way back, and that's a shame to say. But, you know, there's a lot of times that I'll sit in there, and I'll put in Alexander Scoresby, and I'll take my Bible, and I'll open it up. I've been in the book of 1 2 Samuel, and I'm reading there at the house, and I'm finally in 1 Kings. And I would just let him read to me while I read my Bible. And I would just let Alexander Scoresby do all the reading, and I would just sit there and kind of read along with him. But you know what? I was still getting something out of that thing by hearing the Word of God and putting it in. He said he delights in the law of the Lord. You know, you need to take a little time to read the Bible. Instead, he said, give attendance to reading. He said, meditate upon it. But in his law doth his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He said he thinks about it. The godly man thinks about what God has had to say. Psalms 19, he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He said, Lord, what I'm thinking on, let I pray that you're pleased with what I'm thinking on. David said again in Psalms 119, verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. That verse 99, he said, I will have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. He said, I think on the Word of God all the time. Newborn babes need the Word of God. Newborn babes need to dwell on the Word of God. But you know what older folk need to do? Need to dwell on the Word of God. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. If you want to go there, you can. I'll read it to you. You can hear it. Joshua 1 in verse 7. We preached on this not too long ago. I'm talking about being courageous. He said, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. When we obey the Word of God, I ain't got here yet, but ain't this good. When we obey the Word of God, we'll prosper in our life. Now, we may not prosper monetarily. And I'll be honest with you, I think God gives people what they can handle. I do. You know that there are rich people out there that's got more money than I'll ever see all my life, and they love God and they serve God. You know why? They know how to put that money in perspective. It don't mean nothing to them. God has blessed, no more than it means to us, you know. And God just knows how to give it to who can handle it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. You know what gives us to be prosper in the work of God and to have success in Him? Word of God. And obedience to the Word of God. Most people don't like the Word of God. I have come to figure that out. A lot of people don't like the Bible. That's why they're always changing it and trying to correct it is because they want it to fit their life instead of making their life fit the Word of God. And so he said, if you want to be prosperous, then you're going to have to obey and meditate and that upon the Word of God. He said, study, study. The action, the very act of study, we've got to read it. And then we've got to make application of it into our life. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're back to the text verse over here. I've lost my place here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, what did he say? He said, study to show thyself approved unto God. So there is an approval. We find the very act of studying is we read it and we try to understand it by the help of the Holy Spirit. You cannot understand it without the help of the Holy Spirit. It'll never work. There's things that I've seen in this book and tried my best to grasp, and when God opened it by the help of the Holy Spirit, you can get it, amen. And I'm thankful for that today. I'm glad He has enlightened my eyes and my heart and my mind with some of the things of the Word of God. But then there is an approval that comes. Now I want you to understand something. I hear a lot of, I listen to preaching from time to time, and they'll say, study to show thyself approved a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Why? They always leave out, study to show thyself approved unto God. Unto God. Now I don't have to be approved by you. I got to be approved by God. Because if I'm approved by God, then nothing else really matters. I should be approved by you if I'm approved by God. That's what I've always said. You don't live to please the preacher. If you're living to please God, then however you're living, or to please me, as long as it's pleasing God. And so we find that to be approved means to be liked or to be pleased with. Don't you want God to like you? I mean, if you need anybody in the whole universe to like you, it's God. I mean, I don't really care a whole lot what folk think of me. Now, I got to be careful here what I say here. Personally wise, as long as they understand that I love God testimony wise. You understand what I'm saying? I'm probably going to rub people the wrong way. I'm probably not always going to make people happy. But when they walk away from me, I do want them to say, man, that man loves God, and he at least tried to show me the Word of God. But you know what? To be approved means to be pleased with, or to be liked, or to show to be worthy of commendation. So as I looked at this, to study to show thyself approved unto God, I thought about, can God commend my life? Can God commend my life by the way that I study my Bible? He said, preacher, do you want me to be a theologian? That's not what I'm trying to get us to see this morning. We don't have to be theologians in the Bible and spend every waking minute reading this Bible. I understand that. But listen, when is the last time you just took it down and read it? When next time you just cracked it open and read a little bit out of it, outside of being at church? I mean, just took a chapter and read a chapter of the Bible. I got to reading the other day over in the book of 2 Samuel, where David was fixing to die, and one of his sons goes out and he declares himself to be king. You know, he's got 50 men running before him, and he's going to be king. And David's in the bed. He's sick, fixing to die. And, you know, Nathan comes to Bathsheba and says, is Solomon not supposed to be king? And so that whole story goes out of the conspiracy that David's other son was going to set himself up to be king. Nathan gave her advice and counsel, said, you go in and tell David what's going on. And he said, I'll come in right behind you. And I'm going somewhere with this. He said, I'll come in right behind you and say what you're saying is the truth. And it was the truth. And so Bathsheba goes in and begins to tell David everything that's going on. And then Nathan comes in right behind him and begins to tell what's happening. And David said, here's what you do. You take Solomon and you put him on my mule and you send him out there and you held him as king and you put him on the throne. And David even bowed himself to King Solomon when they made him king. I sat in my study the other day and I was reading that, and man, there's some things got to crawling all over me while I was reading that thing. I got to thinking about them crowning him king in the midst of adversity, in the midst of everything that's going on. And then I began to make that application of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there's come the day that there's going to be a coronation. I friend, in the midst of a world that don't know him and that don't love him and don't want nothing to do with him, and God the Heavenly Father is going to crown him king of this whole world. Boy, I got to begin to think about that, and that began to crawl over me, man. I'm telling you, the Word of God just done something for me. And you begin to study and read it. I'm going to admit, somebody said here a while back, when you read the book of Leviticus and God does something for you, you know something's going on. Y'all ever read the book of Leviticus? That's like reading 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles. You get all over out of them names. You say, why did God put all them names in there? That's to show us that He knows our name. He knows our name. They're wrote down. He knows your name if you're saved today. I don't know how I got off on all that, but ain't that good. Listen, I'm talking about being commended or approved, and that of God. You want your life approved by God? Study the Word of God. Study the Word of God. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God. That's who we're trying to please. That's who we're trying to please. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. How are we filled with the knowledge of God? In His will, in spiritual understanding and wisdom, and walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Right there. That's it. We not only read it, we not only study it, but we put it into application. In other words, we do it. We do it. He has left His word that we might live and be approved by Him and follow Him. I thought about that verse, Matthew 11, the last three verses where He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How do you learn about Christ? How do you learn to put the yoke upon you? It just all comes back to this book right here. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We do learn about Him and know about Him. The Bible said, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. I can approve myself. I can commend myself. But if God don't commend it, it don't matter. You want to be commended? You want to be approved of God? Ain't that what we should be after as Christians? Is God to approve our home and our life, of the way we work on our job? All that's found out of the Word of God. Do you know that? Not with eye service. Working on a job, he said, not with eye services, men pleasers. In other words, just don't be doing that as don't work hard as the boss comes by and then slack off. I remember there was a fella that I used to visit in the nursing home. And Miss Margie might remember him. He had two mules hanging on the wall. I don't know if you remember him. He was down D Hall, just a few rooms down on the right. I can't wore neck brace for a while. Might come to her here in a little bit. But I remember I'd go in there and I'd visit with him, and he had two mules, two pictures of mules hanging on the wall, and him standing there with them. So this is back in the 40s. And he would talk about, I think one of them was named Jake. I can't remember the other one. But I'm pretty sure this was a fella that talked about. I get some things conflated. But one of those men would talk about, let me say it that way, would talk about when he said he was plowing with a row with a set of mules, a yoke of mules, and he said Daddy was plowing with another one. And he said, this is no lie. He said, I had one that would slack up and wouldn't pull near as hard until the closer that we got to Daddy as he was coming down the other direction, coming this way. And when he would see that we were getting close, he said that mule would set in and begin to pull. And he said then when we'd get by Daddy, he said that mule just let off and just walk on out through there. You know what? That's kind of doing things with eye services, men pleasers, ain't it? You know, when the boss comes by, we're working just like we're fighting fire, but You know, the Word of God tells us not to do that because we all do have a Heavenly Father above that's watching us, you see. So he left us his Word to live by. Now notice what it said right here. Notice what it said. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You know, study is work. Ecclesiastes tells us that much work's going to wear your flesh out. But it's a workman. He calls us a workman right there. And then he says it's a shame for us not to study. He said, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. God can't approve us, cannot commend us, if we're not studying the Word of God. I'm determined, I really am determined, church, that I'd have never come down here to be your pastor had I not sold out in this book. I'm just being honest. I've got my problems in studying. Don't misunderstand me. I've got my problems in living right. I mean, I've tried to live right, but man, I'm in the flesh just like you're in the flesh. But there come a day that I begin to study this book and try to apply it to my life and to my home, and it made all the difference in the world. It'll change some things. But he said, if we don't study, then it's a shame. Now, as I said at the beginning of this thing, he said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You know, it's okay to be a babe when you're a babe. You've heard me say that before. You can't expect babies to eat strong meat and stuff like that. But you know, after a period of time, you grow up. You grow up. Hebrews 5 put it like this. Let me read this to you. He said, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk and of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You put the word of God into use, you can discern both good and evil. You know, these young'uns that's running around here just because they're babes, they don't know good and bad. That's why their mom and dad's trying to teach them the difference between right and wrong and good and bad. You know what this book teaches us? The difference between right and wrong, good and bad, and how to live right for the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from the devil. He said it's a shame for the Christian, for the saved person, who has not studied their Bible. I'm not telling you God know it all. I'm not telling you that we've apprehended every bit of it that the Apostle Paul talks about. But all I'm saying is, men, you need study. You need some help. You know where you'll find it at? You'll find it out of the Word of God. You know how to find help? Study. You know how to have right doctrine? Study. That we henceforth be no more children to and fro, cared about by every wind of doctrine by the sight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to the seats. You know how to know what the truth is? Study. The lack of study comes out in our life sometimes. But I don't want to bring shame to the Lord. I don't want Him to be ashamed of me. I want Him to approve me and commend my life. That's in the study of the Word of God. Then there is application of study as I close. Notice what he said, rightly dividing the Word of truth. When we study, there's a right way to study. This whole book is for us. It's just not all to us. I cannot claim Israel's promises, and Israel's promises, this is short term right here, but Israel cannot claim our promises as the church, but it's all for us. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning and for our admonition, the Bible teaches us and tells us of that. But can I ask you this morning, how many, notice what he said, rightly dividing the word of truth. How many of us knew that there was divisions in the Bible? Well, they're simple. You say, well, there's no division. Well, sure there's divisions. We've got Old Testament and the New Testament, don't we? I mean, that's a division, ain't it? I mean, we're dividing up between, listen, was there not an Abrahamic covenant? Did he not make a covenant with Abraham? Well, sure he did. Did he not make a covenant with David? Sure he did. Did he not have them under the law at one time? Sure he did. Are we not under grace today? Sure we are. Is the tribulation time not coming? Sure it is. It's quicker, going to be quicker than what you think. I'm looking for the Lord Jesus come anytime. Going to be a division. Going to be a division right there. He's coming to get His children. Save us from the wrath of God. He's coming to get us. There are divisions in there. So as we take and as we study, we try as direction of the Holy Spirit, rightly dividing the word of truth. We do all that. So he said, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. You know, when you get outside of the Word of God, when you get outside of the Word of God, it leads to ungodliness. That's what it does. It leads to ungodliness. The more that we read the Bible, the more that we understand it by the help of the Holy Spirit, we can rightly divide it. We can put dispensations where they belong. I'm not a hyper-dispensationalist. I do believe in dispensations in the Bible. I believe there was a time of innocence when Adam and Eve was in the garden and they did not know. What was the Bible said? That they were even naked and they were not ashamed. Then sin came in. And then there was a time of conscience where man lived by his conscience. That was the days of Noah. We see how well that worked out. And God brought the law in under Moses. We understand all those things. I believe in all that, that things is divided up during that time. But the hyper-dispensationalists will tell you that all we need to read is Romans to Philemon because Paul wrote to the local church in Romans to Philemon. I do believe we draw all our local doctrine, all our biblical doctrine out of Romans to Philemon. But I know that this whole book, me and you need. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that knoweth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In your Christian life, as a newborn baby in Christ, or as an older Christian that has grown in Him, me and you still need this book that we can grow in Him and by Him. Getting back to the basics, you know what He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's why we have Him primary Sunday school classes. That's why we have Him junior Sunday school classes and them teenage classes. Because we're trying to put them, the Word of God in them, so that they'll remember it and have it hid in their hearts. So as they grow older. I'll tell you what I done. The other day I was going through some drawers there at the house in my nightstand. And I generally keep everything that every child has ever wrote me, give to me. I've got a task. Most of it is in my study. But this letter just happened to be in my nightstand for some reason. I don't know if I just took it out of my shirt pocket, put it in my nightstand that night. And this was back when Madison was 8 years old, that she had wrote me a letter about I was the greatest preacher that there ever was. I thought, man, that's a blessing. That's a blessing to be the greatest preacher that there ever was. And she thanked me for teaching her about Jesus. 8-year-old little girl. Now she's, 14 years old or something like that. And so her mama sent me, I sent that to her mama. I said, this is what I found today. And her mama turns around and sends me back a picture of her homework that Jacob gives them in Sunday school. And she's got page after page of what she's wrote about what the Lord out of Ephesians chapter 2. That's all I got to see was the first page out of Ephesians 2. And I thought to myself, they're studying. That's why we have Sunday school and put the word in them kids is so that they'll remember this stuff. God can put it in them and put it into their heart. Me and you need the book, man. We're going to live in this day and age. We're going to need this book if we're going to be found faithful for Him. Let's bow our heads today if we would.